Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and fresh back from the state of Florida. He must have voted down there. Our guy, Mike Brown, Coach Mike Brown from Brown Capital. What do you say there, Mr. Brown?
How you doing, Todd? I'm just back from Miami.
Yeah, did you take a vote down there? Were you there?
The Chicago way, right? Vote early, vote often.
You got to vote as many times as you can. And, of course, obviously the election is tightening up. And, of course, listen, you know, I've said all along that I felt Trump was going to win. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to win or not, but I can't, in my eyes, I can't see people voting for Hillary Clinton. Again, I'm not saying she's not qualified. You know, I don't know that much about what the real qualifications are. I mean, the way I look at it, none of the politicians are qualified for anything, the way I see it. But what are you seeing and what are you thinking?
I think he's going to win, especially after his latest revelations. I don't know anything more than anybody else who reads the papers, but I can't imagine 11 days or 12 days, whatever it was, before the election that they would have publicly put that out there if there wasn't something that they found in those emails, which were apparently Anthony Weimer and Huma Abedin had a sync feature on their computers. So even though they were deleted off of hers, you know, whenever they were both on their Wi-Fi, it would sync them. And so they were all on his. So I got to believe something's there. I think it casts enough doubt in people's mind. Her base wasn't exactly charged up anyway. I mean, Trump's getting 25,000 people at these rallies. Hell, you know, Seattle Mariners don't get 25,000 people at their camp. So it's, I think there's going to be a big turnout on his behalf, and I think he's going to win. Yeah, that's a really good job.
I think there's going to be a big turnout. I think that there's a lot of people out there that would never admit openly that they would vote for Donald Trump. But I do believe when they close the curtain, so to speak, in the ballot box, they're going to punch his name, because I think America might be getting sick of the Clinton. I think we'll call it the Clinton crap, because, well, I mean, you know, I've written about it the last couple of days. I mean, they are like Jell-O. You can't get, you know, you can never stick to them. I mean, they kind of slither around, and it's like they're always on the fringe of the law. Would you agree or disagree with that?
It sure seemed like it. There's always a scandal lurking somewhere with them. And for her, it goes back to her first job. She got fired from her first job on the Watergate committee. So, you know, for me, you know, there's 300 plus million people in this country. And if she were to win, that means, you know, four of our last five presidents came from two families. So, you know, I think we need some change. I think we need to get away from the career politicians. I'd like to see, you know, Trump has said that he would push for term limits. I would love to see a term limit amendment. So people go to Washington for 40 years. I mean, you can't tell me that there's not a lot of the quid pro quo, the old boy network, so to speak, and, you know, maintaining their own positions and not really looking out for the rest of us. So I think if we had more turnover there, you're going to get new ideas, you're going to get fresh looks at things, and, you know, you're going to get a Congress that better serves the people.
I agree with that. I think, you know, again, we've talked about this, you and I, before, about the term limits, and it's really a broken down system. And, you know, I think we need, you know, obviously that this election, there's a lot of Supreme Court justices that are going to have to be replaced. And I'm not looking for them to be on one side or the other. Listen, I think that Obama did a disservice when he put Merrick up at the time he put him up, because Merrick happens to be a guy that would be absolutely perfect for the Supreme Court. He is basically right down the center, and, you know, he sees issues from both sides of the aisle. and he would have been good, and maybe he'll get in later. But, I mean, that's the kind of people we want. We want, I think, don't we want independent thinkers that aren't so
Absolutely.
Concerned,
Absolutely.
You know, about this issue? You know, I mean, sometimes you wonder why the politics has become so much about your party and what their beliefs are when the real truth of it should be freedom of a lot of things, and we shouldn't have to, you know, I don't think religion and things should come into the party that you're voting for, unless I'm wrong. What do you think?
No, I agree. I would like to see, you know, first of all, I'd like to see politics not be a 24/7, 365-day-a-year thing. But, you know, with all of the media outlets now and social media and everything, maybe that's just what we're going to be cursed with. But, yeah, I would like to see more freedom, less, you know, less regulation on a lot of things, less government, you know, in all of our business everywhere. You know, lower taxes. When I say that, everybody fixates on the income tax. How about some relief for people on real estate tax? You know, the nickel and dime taxes. You know, your license plates. Your, you know, you buy a car. I mean, sales tax. Let's get some relief on some of that, so maybe we can really get this economy chugging along.
Oh no, I could not agree with you more there. I mean, I think, you know, one of the biggest problems we have here, in fact, I was talking about it yesterday morning, is, you know, I mean, my real estate taxes are a joke. I mean, I'm basically paying the state to rent my house. You know, it becomes, you know, silly when you're paying, you know, more than it would cost to rent something for real estate taxes. And I mean, just like I think it was in Jersey, they just added a gas tax of 26 cents a gallon. Are you kidding me? I mean, what are they, nuts?
Oh, and that's, again, why we need people, you know, term limits and get people in and out of it, because it doesn't affect them. Yeah, you know, so they are just coming up with new and alternative ways to get into our pockets. You know, they're career politicians. They're, you know, we have to have some term limits on that. And, you know, same thing with the state government. Let's have some turnover there. You got people in there for 30 and 40 years, and look at the mess Illinois is in.
So. Well, yeah, and that's what I say. I mean, you know, again, they've got, you know, everybody talks about, you know, the Fed and things like that. And of course, today the Fed's going to report. But I mean, everybody talks about this stuff, but all they're really doing is they create these hidden taxes to make up for all the mistakes that they've made of not really running the government like a business that it's supposed to be run like. What do you think?
Yeah, not running it efficiently, right? I mean, look at the pension system in Illinois. I mean, for the people who got it, you know, whether it be the teachers I got that, you know, are retiring at 60-70% of their final gross, you know, mazel tov. But for the rest of us that are footing the bill for that, you know, were the politicians really looking out for us, or were they buying votes by giving away a lot of that stuff?
And that's it. You're 100% right. They're buying votes. And you know, I mean, like I said, for me, you know, I'm like at the end of the rope. You're still got plenty of time. I'm, you know, I'm nearing my end.
Maybe.
I'm in the back. Well, you never know, right? But I mean, based on our ages, I'm in the back stretch. You're still in the mid stretch, right?
Yep.
So, you know, again, there's just so many flaws that are so simply adjusted, but we become too much of a society of, you know, quid pro pro or pay for play, whatever you want to name it. Ain't none of it good. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you're okay, so Hillary's a public servant, lifelong public servant is the message that they like to put out there. And you're walking out of public service tens of millions of dollars richer, and that money is coming from overseas. That I'm amazed at that. And because of social media, I mean, I'm sorry, the mainstream media is compromised. They don't, we're not, that's not getting the play it should. But you look at the
Hold that thought. We're going to get that when we get back. Because this is a big topic and we're coming up to a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Orange with Mike Brown, browncapital.org, right? Browncapital.org, is that right?
That is correct. Yep.
Browncapital.org out of Peoria. You got to check them out. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and check out The Bubba Show and download it every day. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break with more from Coach Mike Brown. Fresh back from Miami, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with my guy, Coach Mike Brown. Mike Brown from browncapital.org. and also just one hell of a guy and who really understands markets and how they work. And so you're going into your story about the lifelong public servant. So go ahead and finish that thought, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the mantra that they're trying out there for Hillary. And, you know, you're coming out of public service tens of millions of dollars richer, which that should throw up red flags in and of itself. But the places that money has come from, you know, a lot of it from the Middle East, you know, countries where, you know, smearing Trump with the women, the way he treats women, et cetera. Go over there and see how women are treated. Can't drive. Yeah, you know, have very little choice in anything. So she's taking tens of millions of dollars from places that have no civil rights for women, especially, you know, that execute gays. I think she's compromised. I think she's bought and paid for, and I think that should throw up a lot of red flags, and I hope it does on election day.
Well, I mean, I think she is dirty. I do think. Let me ask you this question. And I don't want to offend any women, so before I'm not always the best at phrasing these, but we all know what women think about Donald Trump, and you know, obviously a lot of it rightfully so. I mean, I can't defend some of the things he's done or some of the actions he's said.
I mean, he's no peach.
Okay,
don't get me wrong.
I understand. And again, we're both in agreement. I mean, listen, you know, part of the story, the locker room talk. We all know that men and women in their own small groups talk, you know, ridiculous talk, right? I mean, but my real question to you is. Hillary Clinton, you know, Bill Clinton has been one of the biggest chasers in history, right? And she has destroyed many of those women that he got caught with, okay? And destroyed them emotionally, mentally. And she was like, I compare her to the Lance Armstrong, where she attacks and goes after these poor women. But yet, women want to defend her, and I don't quite understand it. Do you have any feel for that in your mind? I mean, I don't get it because she has destroyed.
Why women want to defend her? Because you know, a lot of women out there obviously have been wronged, and they say she was a woman scorned, wronged. My point, the reason that she was the pit bull, in my opinion, attacking those women, was because to not be so, and to divorce from him and separate, you know, as a power couple. Would have been detrimental to her down the road. So I think, you know, it was all calculated that, you know, I'm sure behind closed doors, she probably threw things at him. But, you know, in public, she attacked those women because it served her ambitions that she knew, you know, were going to be coming later in life. That's what I think. You know, I certainly understand where women are coming from with him. And
I agree.
Boorish behavior, et cetera. But, you know, he's no peach, but, you know, in my opinion, he's the lesser of two evils.
And that's why I said I tried to phrase it the best I could, because I listen, what he's did is not acceptable, right? Listen, anytime you put yourself on or touch somebody else, that is unacceptable no matter who you are, okay? So, again, I get all that. I don't like the fact that she gets defended when she has actually ruined, you know, many people's lives because of her husband's philandering. And that, to me, is also a problem, okay? Because again, I mean, she comes off on, you know, and her biggest thing is always the kids, right? Because she's always trying to defend the kids because she wants to get the money, in my opinion. I believe that Donald Trump, like him or not, what purpose does he have to run for president? None. I mean, he's 70 years old. He's got all the money he's ever going to need. So either he's doing it for his ego, or he's doing it because he believes that he can make a difference. So if he's doing it for his ego, which means he'd have to be successful in making a difference, that would be good. And if he's doing it just to try to make a difference, that would be good. So I don't see the downside. He's not a career politician. What are your thoughts there?
No, I agree. And let's, you know, Obama swept in on a, change.org or whatever, you know, was his saying that they swept into office on. And I would ask, what has changed? Or what has changed for the better? Race relations are, you know, at their 1960s lows. You know, the economy is not any better. The inner cities, he's completely abandoned the inner cities. So I would like to see somebody who's not a career politician. You know, you got to go back. I guess George Bush really wasn't a career politician. But, you know, prior to that, I mean, you got to go back. Ronald Reagan.
Bonzo goes to college.
That's right. You know, the Gipper, right?
We're right?
The Gipper.
I mean,
but, you know, so give me somebody, a man who's created jobs, you know, and say what you want. I mean, he's been a tough businessman. I mean, and there's certain people, you know, when you're a tough businessman, there's people on the other end of that deal that, you know, it's not supposed to be fair. I mean, you know, it's somebody, there's going to be in a lot of deals, there's going to be winners and losers. I mean, that's just the way things work out. So, give me a tough negotiator. He's obviously been that over his career, you know, dealing with a lot of these trade deals and other things. So, you know, I would like to see change, and that's not what we got this last 8 years. We just got more of the same. So it's, you know, they could point their finger at Congress and everything else, but it's been a very divisive 8 years in this country. And I would like to see some of that. I hope that gets swept out with this administration.
Well, I don't think anything's changed. I mean, what we have changed is we've had the slowest growth in the history of this country. We've destroyed more jobs than any other single president. You know, again, he can talk about his 10 million jobs he's created, but I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said it to you, but you know, tell me what you think. I say the jobs we lost, even with the 10 million he created, cost us more money than he created in earning power going forward.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're not the kind of jobs that you can raise a family on.
You mean you can't raise your family and live the lifestyle you live working at the McDonald's or Walmart?
Not without some handouts from the government, which is...
Oh, wait, the handouts. So there, go finish it. Wait, that's a good topic.
Well, yeah. Well, because that's exactly what they want, right? They don't want high-paying independent jobs, you know. Let's keep the handouts rolling, and it keeps them... Same reason they want to throw open the borders for immigration. They feel like the majority of those people, at least for the, you know, when they first get here, they're going to vote for the people to let them in. So... You know, that's one of my biggest fears as well, is that Hillary's, you know, she's going to gerrymander on a national scale by, you know, throwing the borders open and offering amnesty. So, and, you know, to me that, you know, we have legal immigration process that was thoughtfully put in place over many years. You want to change those and make it easier? Okay. But there needs to be a process. It can't just be, I got over here, so I get to stay.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, again, you know, we spend so much money on things that are totally and have no effect on you and me individually. And not that everything has to be to my benefit. Listen, I have no problem helping out somebody who really needs the help. There are many. Hell, there's a I don't know how many, but thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of veterans that need help that aren't getting their help. In the meantime, people that don't even belong here are getting off of the company payroll, you know, getting our hospitals, getting all this stuff. In the meantime, you go to a vet hospital, and you could die waiting in the chair there. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you know, we're already, and you're seeing it in Europe, and it's not on the scale of Europe yet, but you know, those immigration policies over there are swamping a lot of their communities. I mean, you know, their hospitals, their schools. Their municipalities. I mean, just swamping them, and their services can't keep up. And you know, that's how. Do we want to see that here? I don't want to see that. So you know, I'm all for, you know, somebody wants to go through the process, and we already have far more legal immigration here in the last 20 years than we had in the previous 50. So it's not that there's not ways for people to come here. You know, it's just them, the amnesty and throwing the borders open. I don't agree with. Now, I realize hey, let's deport 10 million people either. That's not doable either. But, you know, there has to be a process that they go through, in my opinion. You can't just, with the stroke of a pen, make 10 million people or whatever the number is, citizens. So.
Well, she's going to, if she wins with the stroke of a pen, she's going to pardon herself. So that she can do. I mean, you know,
yes, she can.
Well, you know, I actually wrote this.
And I'm not for, I wish he would drop the whole lock her up, put her in jail. Cause to me, if he wins, you know, let it go. Don't start your presidency
with tying up the government.
Looks like a witch hunt.
Well, we're gonna,
the FBI will do their job, and if she did something, then you know, let the process take its course. But don't be the cheerleader for it.
We'll get this.
That's not presidential.
We'll get this back when we get from the break. This is Mike Brown, browncapital.org, out of Peoria, Illinois. Check him out. One of the best advisors there are. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Go to libertytalk.fm and check out The Bubba Show every single day, as well as bubbatrading.com. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back after the break with more from Mike Brown.
Where I come from. How about you?
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my guy, Mr. Mike Brown, Coach Mike Brown, out of Peoria, Illinois. And Mike, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you, brother?
It's mbrown@nationalsecurities.com. My phone number is 309-674-1040.
And what's your email, big boy?
mbrown@nationalsecurities.com.
All right. So, and I agree. I don't think that Trump should make that a part of it. Let the normal channels of business take care of it. That's why we have a system in place the way we do. But I mean, obviously, if there's a need to pardon herself at that point, then that means that there's probably an impeachment not too far behind that. So, but at the end of the day, I had actually written about 6 months ago that Obama would pardon Hillary before he left office. Okay. So, I mean, I can't wait to see his list of pardons when he's all said and done. I mean, can you imagine what he's going to do now, this guy, with his stuff?
Yeah, that will be interesting. Yeah. He pardons her on the way out, and she pardons him on the way in.
I mean, it's amazing what's going on here. And I guess, you know, I haven't seen the list, and I don't follow it that closely, but I guess he's let go a lot of bad people and commuted a lot of sentences, which, you know, obviously not what we're looking for, but... Do you, Mike, ever foresee the government, you know, obviously the Fed is a part of this, okay? Now, they're not government, they're private, but the Fed is an organization that has done, you know, in my opinion, a lot of damage because of their policy and because they've really come outside the box of what they're supposed to be doing, okay? And I think they've created so many problems, and because our government refuses to live on the same budget that you and I have to live on every day, okay, that they can get away with it because they do have the Fed basically kind of in their back pocket that will create more money for them all the time. Is there a time you actually see that we stop spending so ridiculously and actually come to some fiscal responsibility?
I mean, we'll be forced to at some point, right? I mean, we get away with it now because we're the world's reserve currency. You know, that is not going to go on forever. You know, you're seeing other countries that are starting to challenge us, you know, on the global stage, whether it be, you know, an ascending Russia or an ascending China. So, you know, we're going to have to play by probably the next 50 years, play by more of the same rules when it comes to our budgets and deficits that the rest of the world has had to play by. So I think that is coming. No, and one of the reasons, you know, we've talked before, we don't think interest rates, if they go up, it's going to be, you know, at a snail's pace. for the simple fact that, you know, we owe $19 trillion. So we're able to deal with that because our debt service is the same as when, you know, our national debt was a third of that, because the interest rates, you know, have been brought down so precipitously. So, you know, that those two things, you know, we interest rates get higher, and the fact that, you know, other countries are challenging, you know, our reserve currency status, are going to force us at some point in time here to live within our means.
Now, I mean, the debt to GDP is at one of the record levels here with interest rates at zero. So if they do a hike, what happens?
I mean, I think you'll see the markets definitely come in as, you know, when they do it. It's going to be, you know, quarter point here, quarter point there. I mean, just to get, for me, you know, to get back to even a 2.5%, I think is a 3 to 5 year process. I mean, it's not going to be like, you know, it was in the 90s or whatever when they raised rates. You know, they're going up, you know, 1.5, 2 points, 2.5 points in the course of 18 months or so. It's going to be a very, very slow process.
But they do need to raise. I mean, we're now creating these messes with banks and with insurance companies because the banks I'm not so concerned about because I'm not a big fan. But insurance companies that insure people, I mean, they need to be able to make capital on the premiums. Otherwise,
on the float, right?
Right.
Yeah, on the float. I mean, that's how they stay in business. Is, you know, they have the float until in such time they have to pay claims, and, you know, yeah, they have to be able to earn something on that float because it is mandated what they can invest in. So,
I think that, and I think that that's a much bigger problem. Again, the banks. I'm very leery of banks. You know, again, I think this whole federal, the whole Fed thing, the banking system, you know, we just found out that, you know, Deutsche Bank didn't really meet the stress test, although they said they didn't. And I would venture to say that many of the banks here don't meet the requirements of the stress test either. You have any thought to that, or can you comment on that? I don't want to get you, you know, underwater here. So go ahead. And if you can.
Yeah, I better not comment on that. But yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on, you know, the insurance companies and, you know, we need those. I mean, they serve a very real purpose. So we, you know, we need to make sure that the environment we're in with regard to interest rates is, you know, conducive to at least being able to earn some return.
No, I get you. And so, you know, when we look at the whole picture, and this is where I want to get to, and this will probably take, you know, we got a couple minutes, a few minutes left here, and then the last end, but I'm really disturbed about the Obamacare, but not the Obamacare. I mean, the idea is fine, right? But what I want to ask you is, what the hell happened to competition in this world? I mean, certain insurance companies can't go into certain districts, so now you're creating, you know, one insurance company's got the state of Maine or Florida, whatever it is. One's got Arizona. I mean, what happened to real competition where the customer actually got the best out of it and the best product, and they had to compete for price? What the hell happened to that?
What happened to you can, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. I got a notice over a year ago that said, by the way, you can't keep your plan. So, and oh, by the way, this new plan is going to cost you 40% more. So, the powers that be want, in my opinion, a single payer system. You know, this administration, Hillary's administration, want to move it towards socialized healthcare.
Okay,
that's what I think, and that's Obamacare is the first step in that. So hopefully, you know, Trump wins and it gets rolled back.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised.
I mean, the people can't afford it. I mean, you can't hire people because you can't, you know, cover the health insurance. So,
well, that's why everybody stays under 50 employees. There's a whole bunch of things. You know, that's why you work part time. That's why they have more part time. I mean, there's so many things going on that don't make sense. But to me, we know, you know, certain deals that are going on, and but let's talk about the healthcare. So one insurance company, they all lock up an area so they can afford to stick it to the client, okay, which is not good. But let's go to something even simpler, okay? Cable TV or Wi-Fi, you know, Comcast, okay? Now, I do not like Comcast. Unfortunately, I have to use them. Why? Because they're the only game in town in my neighborhood, right? I can't go to anybody else. So when Comcast goes down, I'm out of business because obviously I trade. I work online all the time. And without it, now, fortunately, I can get a backup. And I have, you know, I've got two backups, actually. I had to buy a satellite dish, okay, to give me a backup. And then I have my Wi-Fi if that happens to be down from my phone. But my point is why can't AT&T come out to Riverwoods? Why do we have a business? They're so worried about these monopolies, yet they let these monopolies work together and they don't allow them to work in other people's territory. So me, the poor schmuck consumer, I'm paying $570 a month for all of my internet connections between cable TV or DirecTV and Comcast for something that I should pay $200 for. What the hell's going on there?
Oh, I agree. And that goes back to let's get rid of the regulation. Let's make it easier for startups to come in and compete in these areas. Right? I mean, inefficiencies can be solved by Mr. Market. Price discovery and cable or anything else, just like there is in cattle, corn, you know. You throw it open, remove some of those, FCC barriers to entry and that, and people can come in and bring that stuff into play. Then your bill may be $200. So let's hope that happens.
What's amazing is they don't let price discovery work in anything anymore, and it's all somewhat manipulated, which is a shame, because there's nothing better than an asset pricing itself, because that'll really tell you what the true value is, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and part of it is, our government is too big. They have their fingers in everything. So let's dial that back. Let's dial back the roles of, government employees. Close down some of these, different departments that are redundant. And, every federal, state, municipal employee is a tax on the citizens. So some of them are very necessary. They're absolutely, necessary and needed. But in my opinion, it's gotten too big, too bloated, and needs to be trimmed down.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I have problems when the government keeps stepping in on deals, but yet you let these other things continue to happen. Again, it goes back to my cable TV example. I mean, the insurance plans. I mean, I want to know, America that I know is one that allows competition, because what does competition do? It keeps price under control and provides better quality. So I want to be in a spot where I can see having those things happening versus somebody making my decision for me of what's good for me. When I go out and buy a house, what happens when you buy a house? You have real true price discovery. When you buy a car, you have real true price discovery, because the dealer knows what he's going to sell for it. You know what you're willing to pay for it. And if you guys can't meet, guess what? There's no deal. And I think that that has been, and a lot of that has been done by the Federal Reserve, because I think we're seeing too much cheap money, which is creating too much consolidation, which is taking away much of the competition in the world. But we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is the coach himself, Mike Brown, my buddy, but also a very good guy and understands the markets and really good to know. And he's in Peoria, Illinois, browncapital.org. Check him out. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horst. We will be right back after the break with more from the coach. Mike Brown will be right back. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the man himself, Coach Mike Brown, and browncapital.org, Peoria, Illinois. So, Mike, obviously a lot of issues, a lot of things going on, and, I'm going into the competition route, and, I just don't see that the Fed allows the markets to really trade freely anymore. They don't really let the asset classes, which takes us into all this corporate M&A. Now, usually in history, M&A has been usually the end of any true bull market. That's like the first sign that the market's coming to end, because they can't find anything else to go with their money. So they end up buying other companies, and they're really just consolidating on the markets, right? And making it smaller, which even goes more to my point that there's going to be less competition. Do you have any thought to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, less competition, and the overregulation does that as well. So they kind of work in conjunction, because it's harder for, small upstart businesses to come in and challenge, a competitive landscape. And so the big companies in whatever industry you're talking about just continue to get bigger and bigger. And again, to your point, less competition for both those reasons.
And I think something else that bothers me, Mike, is you know, obviously I'm in the media, I'm on a lot, and you know, I listen to a lot of these things, and you know, we get some of these ridiculous calls, and I think that is a real disservice to actual the people that are watching those networks and listening to those people. I think when you make some ridiculous call, you know, on something, you know, the world is coming to an end. I mean, that's just kind of ridiculous. And all you're doing is preying on fear. And I don't like fear and sensationalism, especially when people out there that don't really understand what's going on or how the markets really function, that they should be convinced to do something that maybe they wouldn't do normally, but they have people talking about it. Like yesterday morning, you know, that pipeline got, you know, busted, you know, and the guy gets on, he goes, oh, oil's going to the moon, gas is going straight up. And I go, please stop. It's not. And of course, oil was lower on the day. And, you know, we try to be so sensational with all this stuff. It bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you, but it disturbs me because it really creates the wrong idea to the average middle guy investor. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because they just hear the snippets. You know, oil's going to the moon, or yeah, or the market's going to crash, or, you know, we're going to go down 50%, that kind of thing. You know, they just see the headline, and, you know, it scares people. You know, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, it's fear-mongering. I agree. I just don't think there's a place for it. So.
No, I mean, I think, again, you know, the country, listen, there's plenty of money for everybody. There's plenty of good things for everybody, but we got to just, first thing we got to do is get the house in order. And it starts with the individuals with too much debt. I mean, obviously, you mentioned the number earlier, $19 trillion. I mean, debt is always the ruin of an economy. And, you know, how are we gonna work this debt out? I mean, they're going to probably have to, I would assume, have to forgive a lot of debt out there. What do you think?
Yeah, at some point, you got to inflate it away, right? Or just forgive it or give it, you know, or you're going to have a haircut. So yeah, that's a great question, I don't know the answer to that, and well, I'm not sure they do either.
Well, they don't know for sure. Okay, they've shown over and over again that they have absolutely no idea of what's going on. I mean, that again, look, we hear, you know, between the Bank of Japan and the Bank of England and all these central banks, they continue to try to figure out how to get out of the mess that they've actually created by allowing it to happen, and instead of just letting it happen, you know, in 08, if they'd have let everything happen the way it should have happened and let the free markets work, we'd have been out of the mess already. We'd probably be prospering right now. Instead,
oh, I agree.
We're 8 years
more painful, but you know, we recovered much quicker.
Oh, right. So you continue to try to do it, and what really happens, in my opinion, is the mess will be even greater this time because you've already pinged or destroyed a lot of the society because of the lack of jobs, lack of money, lack of ability to make money. And, you know, what's the answer, young man?
Yeah, that's, I mean, on the debt, I don't know. On trying to get things rolling again, go back to, you got to make it easier for capitalism to take root. You know, whether it be with, you know, startup businesses, et cetera, which, you know, this country, you know, has remade itself many times over, you know, because we are a very entrepreneurial society. It's just more difficult now than it's ever been in that regard. So.
And so startups, you know, obviously the first thing that a startup needs, they need a bank that's going to be able to lend them some money. And because the lending rates and the whole system is so bad right now. What banks are going to lend out money? Because, you know, why would they lend it out here? There's not enough spread to it. And that is the problem. So what are you seeing out? We got a few minutes left. What are you seeing out in the Midwest there? You know, I know the farmers were struggling for a while, and, you know, we've had, you know, the grain prices got slammed. Now they've now come back a little bit, and the markets are moving up a little bit. But are we still losing a lot of jobs at a Caterpillar, and is it still getting a little bit scary down there?
Yeah, I mean, you're still seeing a lot of bad news. Jobs going out of the Midwest and, you know, heading south, whether it be Caterpillar, State Farm, etc. So, you know, Illinois is still losing one net person every 5 minutes. So, and those jobs aren't coming back anytime soon. So it's not a great time.
No, Illinois is a disaster, and of course, that is one of the problems. And of course, God forbid we lose State Farm. Just think what happens to Wesleyan and Illinois State down there if we lose State Farm. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, it would be crushing. I mean, there would be no coming back from that.
I mean, and they could lose them too. I mean, you know, that is the biggest problem. And that's where these guys never think about the stuff, the ramifications of what they're doing. I mean, do they actually ever think about what they're doing? I mean, you know, I know it's kind of sounds stupid and simple, but it is fairly that simple, is it not?
I mean, yeah, you got to have jobs. People got to have jobs.
You got to work.
An environment that is conducive to business.
And why, you know, why is it like Texas? No state tax. Nevada. We know why Nevada. They've got a built-in base here. But Miami, what the hell do they got in Miami? Or in Florida? What do they have in Florida that's so that they can do no state tax, but you can't do it in Illinois? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, why?
Absolutely.
Why can't they create more business? I mean, it's so simple. It's like this would be on the so simple a fifth grader could answer it. You know, and to me, I just don't get the whole picture. But I know you're a little bit of a historian, and we got like a minute. But I was on Bloomberg Canada on Monday night, and we were talking about the Cold War, and are we seeing another potential Cold War brewing here? What do you think?
I think it depends on who gets elected. I think there are going to be some tensions. I don't think they have to be. I mean, we're not dealing in ideologies like we were during the Cold War. You do have a Russia that, you know, they want to be more of a player on the world stage than they have been the last 20 years. And I think it depends on how you meet them, you know, on the global stage. I think you have to be firm with Putin. I think, you know, I think he's a guy that if he's going to try and push you, and if you don't push back, he's just going to keep pushing. But the last thing, Russia doesn't want to go toe-to-toe with us or anything. I mean, their economy can't do it. They couldn't do it before. Especially not now without, you know, at least the Soviet Union had all its satellite states, right, to prop it up. So I think if we meet them firmly on the world stage, but also it doesn't all have to be confrontational. You know, I think there us, China, Russia, there's ways that we could certainly work together on some of the problems, especially, you know, the global terror problem. I mean, that's something that, you know, will impact us all eventually. Certainly has already impacted Russia and Chechnya, et cetera. You know, it's come home to Europe's doorstep now, and we certainly felt the effects of it. So, I mean, I think there's common ground there between our countries that, you know, if it's approached correctly, you know, we need not go into another Cold War.
And now you have those are the words from Mike Brown, browncapo.org. Check out his website and make sure you check him out in Peoria, Illinois. Mike, always great to have you on, and nice to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world.
Absolutely. Always good visiting with you, Todd.
This has been Mike Brown, browncapo.org, and this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Remember, libertytalk.fm gets you a download of The Bubba Show every single day and The Sporting Edge on the weekends. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, so I can beat up on the Fed after they come out with their news. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a good night, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.